let's start at the beginning. Talk about what your role is and has been in getting the priorities changed around at the military health system. What work you did exactly?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to go into some detail on that, Francis. Before I get into it, I think it's important to your listeners to know that a lot of the learnings that we got out of working with the military health system can be equally applied to agencies who need to prioritize for the stimulus initiative that is going on right now. So it's a very simple face that the organizations that are now receiving stimulus money are facing regarding how do they prioritize their investment initiatives that they're requesting funding for and demonstrate the value of those. For those of you who don't know, MHS, the military health system, manages all the DoD health facilities globally. It's comprised of multiple stakeholders who are competing for these scarce resources. The stakeholders come from the Army, Navy, and Marines, and the Air Force, as well as the TRICARE medical folks themselves who try and oversee the system across all the services. And when you try and bring together a group of stakeholders, as anybody who's been involved in a high-level decision realizes, it's hard to get all of the priorities of all of those players into a process that leads you to make the best possible decision. And what we do with Decision Lens is to help to bring structure to the decision-making process. The problem that MH had and has had over a number of years is they run a massive hospital system. It's carrying a $25 to $30 billion infrastructure. And the amount of resources that they've been receiving to sustain that infrastructure are have been, until recently, scarcely more than $300 million a year. And so it becomes very difficult to recapitalize an infrastructure that's that big when you're only getting $300 million a year. The problem that the folks at MHS had was, how do they articulate the importance of these health facilities? And as you mentioned at the beginning of the conversation, Walter Reed obviously was a good push to say, hey, look, we have been underinvested in our infrastructure for a long time, mm-hmm. and the ramifications of that are things like Walter Reed.
Right.
So long and short is, what they did at MHS is they used our Decision Lens software to bring together these stakeholders, define and prioritize a common set of criteria that they could evaluate all military construction investment initiatives against, and then they brought all the services together and rated those so that they end up with a one-to-n priority list against multiple criteria that demonstrate the value of these health facilities. So they took the information that they developed using the Decision Lens process, and this year when they went to request resources from Congress, the representatives in Congress said, well, we realize that Walter Reed, he realized that we need to give you more money to recapitalize your infrastructure, and we're happy to do that. And the response from the military health system folks was, thanks, that'll be very helpful. But Congress set a limitation that they really want that money to go to U.S. hospitals. They didn't want to have another Walter Reed in the U.S. The problem was that what military health system had found through using Decision Lens and prioritizing against multiple criteria, including things like facility condition, as well as how these health facilities support the various missions of the military, that the big hospital concerns are overseas. They're places like Guam and mm-hmm. Landstuhl, which aren't in the U.S. And so when they said to Congress, they said, hey, we actually are concerned and we thank you for the money you're giving us for the U.S., but we have a bigger problem. The next Walter Reed could be Guam,
right.
Not necessarily in the U.S. And Congress called said, show us evidence of this, validate this to us. And because the military health system had this model, they were able to go to Congress and say, here's our priorities. Here's number one, Guam. Number three, Landstuhl. And here's all the objectives that we jointly evaluated these against. And this is where we're going to incur the biggest risk in the system. And that helped get the representatives in the Appropriations Committee to provide, to raise from $300 million to $700 to $1 billion per year over the next 7 to 10 years and reduce the amount of time to recapitalize their infrastructure from 100 years to 30.
So let me see if I can just quantify this, kind of put this into a nutshell if possible. What you're able to do is you're able to go in and sit down with decision makers in an agency, and you're able to help them quantify and evaluate all the issues that they have, put them in the right order so that then they're able to go to Congress and say, this is why we need money, this is what we need it for, and this is, if you give us X dollars, this is how we're going to throw it at these individual issues.
That's spot on. That's exactly right, in a structured process. And how it's often done in these agencies today is people have table conversations. We call it bog set, bunch of guys and gals sitting around a table talking, and hundreds of millions of dollars are allocated on the back end of these decisions with literally no structure describing the priorities and the thinking of the players that made that decision. And so it becomes hard to audit whether that's a smart decision or not.
Yeah.
And as you look at this stimulus that's coming around, you're going to have the same problem on a scale that's hundreds of times what we're talking about with MHS.
Yeah, I want to talk about the stimulus in a little bit because I think you're exactly right. We reviewed the guidance that's coming out from the Office of Management and Budget on the program yesterday and their guidance to agencies about how you deal with the money that's going to get plugged into your agency, and that seems to be the challenge that OMB's talking about, is you're going to get cut a big check, essentially. Structurally, it'll work a little differently than that, obviously, but there's going to be this big cash flow coming in, and it's going to be real tempting to say, well, we've been working on this for this amount of time, and let's just put some of this here and some of this here and move forward, and you wind up kind of like if somebody gets a gift at home and they get $2,500 all of a sudden and they don't really know what to do with it, before they know it, it's gone.
That's right. Yep.
All right. I want to talk about that when we come back from our break. You're listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Daniel Satie. He's the president of Decision Lens on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Daniel Satie. He's the president of Decision Lens. And Decision Lens, before I try to quantify it, Daniel, why don't you give me the elevator speech on what Decision Lens does, the two or three sentence deal.
Sure. Decision Lens provides software solutions to help take the guesswork out of mission-critical enterprise planning, financial, and IT performance-related decisions. We help our clients align their strategic operational goals and priorities with the best investments in people, projects, and products and suppliers. We work with companies like Joint Staff, USDA, Navy, Air Force, and even companies like Johnson & Johnson, eBay, and even the NFL. So,
that's a pretty good elevator speech. I like that.
Thank you.
Now, we talked a couple times about the stimulus plan that's coming down the pike, and agencies are going to get some fairly big jolts. General Services Administration will get a lot of money to deal with the energy usage in federal buildings to make them green. That's just one of many things that we've talked about on Federal News Radio on our various programs. But if you're sitting down with an agency, this is the first meeting, and I'm a representative of the agency. You're obviously with Decision Lens, and I'm looking at you across the table, and I'm saying, Daniel, my struggle is I'm going to get this big load of money. My agency has so many needs, and I'm not sure where to start to evaluate them. I have some of this money is dictated. Some of it is things that I have to do, and some of it I have a little bit more leeway with. What are you going to tell me about how I start to sort these priorities out?
It's a great question, Francis. I think one of the problems today is that the stimulus is coming out and it's saying we're trying to drive short-term employment, which is pretty clear. You can say job creation and purchase of materials and other things. But then it also has this more vague concept of long-term value to the economy. And how do you describe that? And how do I, as a decision maker, if I'm sitting at the agency level, describe that? The way I would do it is through my own mission, and I'll let you in on a little introductory piece of news here. I don't know if you've heard about the WMATA, Washington Metro Area Transit. They're going to be one of the first in line receiving stimulus resources, and they've already established their priorities, and that was actually done using Decision Lens. We've also just completed doing this with Amtrak, and the way that we do it is we build a criteria model that doesn't only include job creation and purchase of materials, but includes the objectives of the organization, the strategic objectives out of their strategic plan so that they can articulate which projects are not only going to get us people who are hired, but it doesn't make sense to invest in an initiative that's going to hire a lot of people, but it's not really building for an infrastructure for long-term growth. So we need to incorporate the other objectives of the organization and look at it not only for how many jobs it creates, but how is it going to help the organization improve, in the case of WMATA, improve ridership, or improve safety and security, or improve the core infrastructure on which the metro runs. And so Decision Lens lets the executives get together and prioritize their objectives. And then the second part of the problem is that it wasn't like people were sitting around with a stimulus portfolio ready to go. So what most of these stimulus portfolios are actually coming right out of their capital planning processes. So these are projects that fit the stimulus requirements, shovel ready, and I put that in quotes, meaning that the project can be done within the rules of the stimulus, done quickly and executed. But they have to pull those out of their capital process, and they need to look at those initiatives for their importance towards the objectives of the organization, but also for their direct stimulus impact. Mm-hmm. And so with Decision Lens, we help them prioritize, and we actually have a budget allocation tool which says, if you have to fund a project, you force fund it, but now the question is, among the discretionary ones, which are going to give you the best bang for the buck? Where are you going to really get good value for your investment? And that's based on the priorities that are established in a very transparent and auditable way mm-hmm. by the people within an agency.
Now, I certainly am not going to ask you to tell me your company secrets, but just if you can give me just a minute or two overview of
sure.
how your people and your software go about establishing those priorities and sorting them out.
Absolutely. So we always hear, oh, you can't compare apples to oranges. Keep your apples with your apples and your oranges with your oranges. But the truth is, what do you do every time you go to a fruit bowl? How do you pick a fruit? Well, you obviously have to compare the apple to the orange in some way. And how's it done? If I actually ask someone, let's step back for a minute and think about why you chose the apple or the orange in the fruit bowl, and ask that person to articulate it, they can almost always quickly come up with criteria. I like the texture, the flavor, the color of it. I don't like how an orange squirts me in the eye when I bite into it. Whatever it is, they have criteria in their heads. And the question is, how important are those criteria in making the decision? And then how do the options score against the criteria? So we have a special process. It's called pairwise comparisons that lets people compare the criteria and say, which is more important to me? Is it flavor or color? Color or texture? And through that, we actually derive priorities for those criteria. And then when they go to look at projects, they can rate the projects against their weighted criteria, and that gives them a good picture of the relative value of their projects. One thing that's very important, people always talk about making objective decisions. There's no such thing as an objective decision. You have to apply a judgment in any decision by definition. So the best we can do is to take the subjectivity of the people involved and make it explicit. And that's what we're doing through this comparison process. We're letting each player, each decision maker, make the comparisons, and then we're combining them. But we're not forcing agreement. We're letting them disagree, but do it in an explicit way.